Welcome to the Resilient Joy Podcast. I'm your host, Danae Peterson. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you can find value in what I bring to you here on the podcast. I'm here to teach you to release perfectionism, conquer anxiety and depression, and build confidence and resilience habits so you can handle all of life's ups and downs. So what do you say? Let's get started.
Okay, so hello again, and I apologize that it's been a while since I've done a podcast. I have just been juggling the whole getting kids back to school and getting into our routine, and it's all just been a little bit crazy. So I'm currently hiding in my closet, and I'm just going to record a short episode here on my phone. Hopefully the audio quality will be okay for uploading to podcasts. I'm hoping that it will, because everything that I've researched basically says the audio quality on my AirPods plus my iPhone is probably going to be better than even the Yeti microphone. So we'll see. We're just going to test it out, but I don't have time to go and set up my microphone and everything up here in the closet where I have the best audio. So here we go. Today we're going to talk a little bit about something that has been on my mind and really just has kind of been the reality of my life for the last year, really longer, but especially for the last year. And so to preface this, just to kind of like, I guess, fill you in a tiny bit, I was diagnosed last year on July 31st. I was diagnosed with ocular melanoma. Officially diagnosed, I think probably like August 4th, but because of when they found the tumor in my brain, like, I was diagnosed with cancer on July 31st. And plus, that's Harry Potter's birthday, so like, I would so much rather it be on that day, because then I can like, find something happy about it. But like, it's just been a crazy whirlwind of a journey. And one of the biggest things that I've had to just re-embrace and relearn over and over and over again is that uncertainty is guaranteed. It's a part of the deal. Like, I can't avoid it. I can't get around it. There's no way to escape uncertainty. And in fact, when I try to escape uncertainty and I crave certainty and I go after this idea that I have to know the answers, I have to know how it's going to go, that I want those things. And when I really focus in on certainty, what I end up doing is I end up feeling like there's just so much that I can't control. And so therefore, like, I feel completely out of control. It's not a fun feeling, but I want to just briefly kind of teach you guys something that I've learned from my mentor, Brad Bizjak, and he learned from one of his mentors, Tony Robbins. And I'm not going to go into all of the six human needs. Maybe I'll do that in a future episode. But right now, I just want to talk briefly about the six human needs, specifically the first two. So there's six things, six emotional states that we as human beings have to have in our life. And the first one is we have to have certainty, right? We have to have certainty about some things in life. And there's disempowering and there's empowering ways that we can get that certainty. So for example, like, I can want the certainty around my cancer diagnosis. It's probably nothing I'm ever going to get, but I can want those answers. I can want the certainty that I'm going to be okay. But seeking after that kind of certainty when I can't possibly ever get those kinds of answers doesn't do anything but cause me pain. So that's a disempowering way to go for certainty, or to be kind of like leaning towards or leaning into certainty. And so I'm going to look through my notes really fast and see if I can find the other six human needs. Oh, I swear I've gone over these a bazillion times with my life coach. Here we go. Okay, so certainty means we're going to know that we'll be safe. We want that comfort. A negative way to like go after certainty and to try to get certainty is to try to control people or to try and like control the situation. Maybe a neutral way would be watching a movie that you've seen before. So, you know what's going to happen, or reading a book. Like, I read the Harry Potter books over and over and over again. I know exactly what's going to happen. That certainty, that fills my need for certainty, because I am giving myself the opportunity to basically like dive into something that, you know, I already know the ending. I know with certainty exactly what's going to happen. Harry's going to defeat Voldemort. Everything's going to turn out fine. He's going to get married to Ginny. Like, all of the things that I know happen, they happen. And I don't have to be worried about that. And then a positive way, maybe to seek certainty or to fuel my need for certainty, is to just really just trust and have faith that things are going to be okay, whatever the situation. Uncertainty is, as Brad called it, he said, uncertainty is the variety and the spice of life, or variety is the spice of life. So, you know, on the one hand, we crave and we absolutely need to have that level of certainty in our lives. But at the same time, we also have to have uncertainty, because if we didn't have uncertainty in life, life would be boring, right? It would be super boring. So a negative way of going and seeking after uncertainty might be, like, this is nothing I've ever done, but it might be something like going to multiple different clubs and like sleeping around. Like, I've never done that, never gonna do that. But like, that would be maybe a negative way, or it could be a more negative way to, you know, kind of abuse your social situations, or to do things like that that might be maybe reflected poorly on your choices, or they might affect your life in a negative way. A neutral way, again, reading the same movie or the same book, even though it fills the need for certainty, it also fills the need for uncertainty, because there's still that thrill of like wondering again and kind of stepping back into that place of wondering what's going to happen next, and you want to keep going. So even though you know the general ending, if you haven't seen it in a while, like say The Princess Bride or, you know, Lord of the Rings or something like that, there's pieces in there that you don't remember, and so it fills that need for uncertainty. But this is a neutral way to fill it. And a positive way to fill that need for uncertainty would be to, you know, do something fun and surprising and maybe a little bit courageous that you've never done before. Try something new, because, you know, it's a little bit scary to do, but you do it anyway. This could be like going skydiving, you know, safely going skydiving with all of the training and all the things that go into that. It could be going on a hike to a place you've never been before. Those kinds of things, those are maybe more empowering ways to fill the need for certainty. Uncertainty. So that said, uncertainty is guaranteed, right? That means that it's always going to happen. There's always going to be things in our life that are outside of our control. And when those things happen, if I like go towards, I have to have certainty around this, I have to have certainty around this, when I'm faced with so much unknown, then I feel like crap. Like, I mean, I literally feel like crap. So the biggest thing that I've kind of had to just fall back into is this idea that, okay, certainty is having faith that no matter what comes, I can handle it. And it's reminding myself of all of the different ways over the last year, 2 years, 3 years even, that I've handled unknown situations, and I've handled, you know, things that I didn't know how they were going to turn out. And yet here I am. I'm still here. I'm still going. I've still figured some things out, and I'm still adjusting and, you know, kind of going as we go. So I was talking with one of the friends that I have in the ocular melanoma community, and she's someone who has shared her story with me, and I'm not going to use her name just out of privacy for her, but she was just saying like, hey, like and she's someone that I have connected with who is further along in her journey with this eye cancer, with the recovery process, and her situation, just like all of ours, everyone's is so different. But her situation, she gets eye injections, and she goes and has basically injections of steroid and medication that are to help preserve her vision in her eye. I don't currently have those kinds of things, so I don't deal with this specific type of appointment at the moment, and I'm hoping that I never have to. But, you know, again, we'll deal with that when it comes. So she was just saying that she was having a really bad, like a bad eye day, like just feeling really frustrated, feeling kind of down and just really out of control. And so I just told her, I said, you know, I think that's like 1,000% allowed. I personally notice anxiety before all of my eye appointments. And really, it's because an eye appointment, you know, as simple as an eye appointment can be, an eye appointment is when we found out, any of us in this ocular melanoma community, this is when we found out that we have eye cancer. This is when they discovered a tumor or a pigment or something bizarre about our eyeball that was then led to all these tests, all of the things that happened to diagnose you with ocular melanoma. It's allowed to be traumatic to go through those kinds of eye appointments, to revisit that every single time you go and checked out, because they literally do so many of the same tests over and over again. It's kind of like deja vu. It's also allowed to be frustrating, like to be doing injections to save your eye and to have them not be working. And to basically have the doctor telling you, you know, hey, we've done this for so many years and now it's not working anymore. And so, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, we have to figure something else out. That's frustrating. That's allowed to be frustrating. But there had to be a point. And so if you, you know, if I was telling my friend, like, if you go into this and you frame this as like, well, what was the point, right? What was the point of, you know, having these eye injections if all it's going to do is make sure that I have to have, you know, something else happen to my eye that if it didn't work in the first place, right? And so, so she was able to just kind of reframe that and just say, you know, like, well, I guess that these injections have helped me to keep more of my vision than not in the last 3 years. So just reframing that, that's one way to kind of focus on dealing with the uncertainty, right? Because when you don't know what's going to happen, you want answers. And so sometimes we have to give ourselves those answers. So I was trying to help her kind of reframe this. And it's so much easier to do this with somebody else than it is to do it for yourself, by the way. But it is possible to do it for yourself. You just kind of have to ask yourself the right questions. So that was the one thing is like, let's reframe this. Let's reframe the situation. Let's reframe what's happened. And so she was able to reframe that. And she just said, it's super painful though, to know you're not getting the results that you want. And so then we talked about, okay, well, right now you're expecting the result to be, I keep all my vision or I keep my vision to this extent. What if you expect different results, right? So what if it goes right according to a different result, a different expectation? What if we relinquish the old expectation and we just say like, what could go right? What could be good about this? And so she was then able to look at, okay, like, let's reframe this. Like, well, what if I just am hoping for no change, meaning everything is stable, or what if it's just neutral? And so just kind of like, kind of trying to look for what could I expect instead that won't be as painful as expecting that nothing will ever have to change here in this treatment plan. And I just suggested the idea of like, okay, well, what if the success for injections was preserving eye health as long as possible versus indefinitely? And what if it achieved that goal, like up to this point? And that's success. So reframing the things that we see as negative and reframing what the success is around that. And so she just talked about though, how she felt like being fixated on this crazy idea of like having an end to this treatment was kind of like bringing her a lot of frustration. And so this to me was like, as I'm listening to her and I'm talking to her, I'm like, okay, this is you going after certainty. This is you really craving certainty in your life when right now you're being faced with a lot of uncertainty. So we need to find a way to give you certainty that isn't this control of something you can't control, right? And so I just said, okay, like when you're fixated on this being an end, that's not really realistic, right? It's not realistic. It would be nice, but it's actually not going to happen. This experience has totally changed your life, and it's always going to be something that you think about, you're aware of. Your vision is different. It's always going to feel different, and you'll always know why. So accepting that is one of those first things that, you know, kind of needs to happen. But I'm finding, at least for me, that acceptance is kind of like a lifelong process, and we have to accept one thing and then we have to learn to accept the next things. So just going into appointments, and this is something that helps me, but I was just telling her, like, going into an appointment, knowing what questions you have and what answers that you're hoping to get, at least from the doctor, that can give you certainty, like knowing that you have a plan for what you want to ask the doctor. You don't know what the plan will be after the doctor talks to you, but like knowing that you have a plan for after whatever is going on. And that's something that I do. I go into doctor's appointments with questions, and I try to focus on those questions and to focus on just getting the answers to those questions, because that is within my control. I know that there will be an answer to the questions. May not be an answer that I like, but like there will be answers. Let's see. I just mentioned like that, you know, we have to focus on what is, what's in front of us, and that certainty in and of itself, it brings us a lot of pain because we think that we need to have all the answers to survive. But really, we've survived a lot of uncertainty up to this point. Like, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown. And so if we really look at it, we didn't have to have the answers to get through those things. We figured out the answers one step at a time. And it really is like coming down to that faith and that trusting part. And so this is probably, again, the biggest thing that I have to kind of gear myself towards and direct my thoughts towards, is that I have to trust and have faith that what if certainty is trusting that I've handled all the unknown before and I can do it again in as many situations as come up in my life. Trusting that this can work out, trusting that, you know, somehow, even if I can't see it, everything's going to be okay. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but just like trusting that, and being grateful for like what I have in the moment. Those are just like some of the more empowering ways to give myself certainty to, that I like suggested that my friend like give herself this level of certainty around this. And so that's really like what it comes down to, is that when we're faced with uncertainty, like this is kind of the top three, I guess, three, four things that I have had to do, over and over and over again with each new level of uncertainty. Because like I said, there's like new level, new devil, there's new things that I have to accept, that I have to, you know, kind of get coming to terms with. I have to come to terms with them like literally every couple months sometimes, because everything could change, you know, in 2 or 3 months. It could change over the course of a few weeks. And I don't have control over that. I don't know exactly how everything is going to go. So, you know, what do you do, right? What do you do if you're faced with an uncertain situation, something that doesn't go away? It's not just like one little blip in your life and then it's like, okay, cool, I dealt with that, now I can move on. It's like an ongoing process, right? What do you do when you're literally stuck in the unknown and you have to just figure out how to swim, right? So first thing, number one, reframe your fear. Reframe it into, you know, instead of what if it goes wrong and focusing on all those what ifs of what could go wrong, focus on what could go right. And, you know, you may not for sure get those things, but you can at least focus on them and you can look for them and you can look for the possibility and dwell in possibility of, you know, the positive what if as opposed to the negative what if. Because if we live in the negative, we don't feel very good. And I would rather face the unknown and swim like a long time feeling good, right? I'd rather be able to breathe instead of like panicking all the time. So reframe your fear. What if it goes well? What if, you know, letting go of that, I wish this all would go away kind of a thing. Like, what if uncertainty is just part of the deal? And what if everything could go right? What if, you know, the doctor's timing, what if the timing of all of the things that have happened up to my life in this point, what if they all had a purpose up to this point? Like, it's not like I have to accept that, but like, what if that was, what if that was a possibility, right? And what if, this is probably my favorite thing that one of my friends, he's one of my friends that I've known on Instagram and Facebook. And he's been through a crazy journey in his own life, but he has basically tackled alcoholism and come back from, AAA and just all of the things to now being I want to say he's like a certified therapist to help people with addiction recovery. And he's completely transformed his life over the last, I feel like I've known his journey a little bit over the last 5 to 7 years plus. And he told me, you know, what if you've been training for this your entire life? Like, what if every experience that you've had up to this point has just been training you to help you get ready for this, to help you get ready for dealing with this piece right here, this cancer piece, this unknown. So reframing the fear, that's tip number one. Number two is to lean into that idea and that certainty of trusting and having faith that things can work out, even if you can't see the answers, and to just focusing on that. I think that really is what faith really is. Faith is literally trusting that things can work out, even if you can't see how, even if you don't know with certainty or know that it will, right? It's just trusting that it can, trusting that it, you know, has that potential, and focusing in on that instead of the things you're afraid of, instead of trying to control the things that you actually can't control. And number three would be just really, really getting grateful and finding the things that I'm thankful for in my present moment and also in my past, like appreciating the things that I've gone through up to this point. And I think this is, it's kind of a combination of gratitude, appreciation, and validation. And this is something that one of my friends challenged me to do. So if this is something you're struggling with, if you're in the middle of something hard and you're finding it kind of difficult to get out of that need for certainty, then I would challenge you to try this exercise. So my friend suggested that I write out a list of all of the total crap that I have gone through in the last year, in the last 3 years, like whatever it is that I've wanted to articulate, like anything that I've struggled with, anything that I've overcome, and to just list all of those things out and just say like, okay, look at this self, like look at what you've dealt with and look at how far you've come. And at the end of this exercise, I had, you know, I probably only wrote for like 5 minutes, but I just had a good long list of, you know, miscarriage, faith crisis, dealing with eye pain, dealing with losing my vision, like all of these things that have gone wrong in my life or that have maybe just been difficult to deal with and that I somehow, you know, I'm still here despite all of those, right? And so that validation piece is so key to appreciating what happened in the past, because it helps us to see, you know, I feel like it helped me to appreciate how far I've come. And it also helped me to appreciate that, like right now, if sometimes I have those big emotions and, you know, more often than not, if I have big emotions about all of this, that I can validate myself and I can say, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with me for feeling these feelings. I'm allowed to feel those feelings. I'm also allowed to be grateful that I'm still here. Like it's allowed to be complicated. And I think that the biggest piece overall for me has been that when I resist uncertainty, like if I resist, you know, embracing it, if I resist accepting that unknown and uncertainty are just a part of my life right now, then it brings me more uncertainty. It brings more upheaval emotionally. And so kind of like with emotion, when I'm resisting feeling angry, if I'm resisting feeling sad, it just brings more of those emotions to me. And then it adds, you know, the layer of anxiety about like, well, I shouldn't feel this feeling in the first place. So like, don't make an emotion worse. Don't make a situation worse by resisting it. We have to accept where we are. We have to accept what we have going on. And I think that the sooner that we can learn how to accept those, the sooner that we'll be able to frame them in a positive way in our lives. So hopefully this audio works. I'm really hoping it works. I am going to hop off and I'm going to go and get Melody up, but I will definitely be updating the podcast over the course of the next, hopefully a few weeks with more episodes to talk about the rest of my cancer journey, as well as some of the other things around our faith journey, as a couple, as a family. So stay tuned for some of those. And then of course, if you guys have any questions at all, you're welcome to reach out to me, tag me on Instagram if you listen to the podcast and you're sharing it. And thank you again for listening.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Resilient Joy podcast. Be sure to subscribe, share your favorite moment with your tribe on Instagram, tag me at @myjoyfitjourney, and if you have a moment, leave me a brief review. Until next time, keep creating your pockets of joy every day.